At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. Beyond the junkyard echoes roar, shattered dreams and bloodstains pour, grit and glory all from war.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, back on our normal day and normal hour. I hope you all are having a great Thursday evening. I am Junkyard James, your host. As always, I am here with my co-host, the one, the only man with the most sauce, Cody Marinara. How are you doing, friend?
My man, how in the hell are you doing? I feel like we just did this a few days ago, and yet here we are 4 days later. Thanks for everybody who tuned in this past Sunday night for our first Sunday night live stream. That was pretty cool. Hopefully we can keep the momentum up and keep the juice flowing, keep the sauce flowing, keep it nice and warmed up, as we say here. But we're doing good over here, man. It's almost the weekend. Spring is in the air. It's warm. It's starting to get a little hot. But we kind of knew that was going to happen, living in the Carolinas. Other than that, we're doing good. How about you, my friend?
Yeah, we're doing well over here as well. You said it's getting warm. It's more like it's blistering hot here. At least it was today. But knowing the Carolina weather, it'll be 26 and snowing tomorrow. But yeah, we're doing well here. And I hope everybody watching the live stream is doing well. Everyone that'll listen to the audio version afterwards, I hope you guys are doing well as well. You can see in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen four things I need y'all to do if you're watching this live stream. The first one is hit that thumbs up button. Give us a like. Let everybody know that you are enjoying this content. Then I need you to comment, join the chat, join the live feed. But even after the live stream, if you're watching it on replay on demand, comment. Let everybody know you're in here. Be active as part of the community. The third thing, I need you to share this with all your wrestling friends. We are here to build a community that isn't just casuals, that isn't just hardcore, that it's everybody mixed together. And the only way we spread the word is through sharing our videos, sharing our live streams. But the last one, the biggest one, hit that subscribe button, join the community, and then the notification bell beside it. Check that. That way you get notified every time we go live or post another video. But outside of that, let's jump into a segment that we introduced last week. It's called Guess the Wrestler. And for those who weren't here last week, the idea of Guess the Wrestler is I'm going to start you off with two hints. You got 5 minutes, and within that 5 minutes, you can guess three times, or you can ask a total of 10 follow-up questions that I can give you additional hints. Before I give you the initial hints, though, let's talk about the affiliate partner that powers this show. That is Dubby Energy. If you're looking for a boost that keeps you sharp without all the jitters, say hello to Dubby Energy. It's packed with clean, transparent ingredients, no sugar, and no artificial junk. It's just pure crash-free focus. Whether you're a gamer, you're busy working, or just grinding throughout the day, Dubby's got your back. Try it now and taste the difference. They have a sale, I believe, right now. Buy two, get one free, I believe, if I saw the email that they sent me correctly. But even without that, we have a way that you can save a little bit of money on W Energy. If you go to that link right there, W.GG, use the code Beyond the Yard, you can get 10% off of your order at checkout. So that is Beyond the Yard, W.GG. We want to thank y'all for partnering with us. Level up your energy game with W.GG, Beyond the Yard at checkout. All right, are you ready for this week's segment of Guess the Wrestler, my friend?
I think so. You had me scared with you said before the show that this one's going to be a little bit different. So I'm a little nervous, but we'll give it a shot.
I a modern wrestler last week, and you got it in like 35 seconds. So I'm choosing a pioneer of the wrestling game this week. And giving you just a little bit of information with the idea that this might take the full 5 to 10 minutes this week. Let's start with this information. Information number one, this wrestler is a female. And information number two, this wrestler was born on August 5th, 1915. Are you ready, my friend? If so, oh God, here you go.
You already got.
No.
Okay. All right. All right.
Well, I haven't started your timer yet, so luckily that doesn't count. Here we go. We got 5 minutes on.
I create a loophole.
Right. I got 5 minutes on the clock. Are you ready, my friend?
No.
All right. Well, ready or not, the timer has begun. Your 5 minutes starts now.
Damn, I actually thought that was a pretty good guess when I mentioned that. Okay. All right. So born August 5th, 1915. Is this wrestler still alive?
This wrestler is not alive. They passed away on February 18th of 1989.
That does not help me at all. Okay. What? I'm trying to think of a good question to ask without trying to give away too much. Was she in the WWF / WWE the longest in her career?
I don't think she ever wrestled for the WWE, but she is a WWE Hall of Famer for the contributions to wrestling as an industry.
Okay. Was she mostly a wrestler in Japan?
No.
Okay. Did she do more of wrestling or working within the business, like selling tickets and being a promoter?
She wrestled for the majority of her career, but okay. She also at one point became an owner of a promotion.
She once became an owner of a promotion, or like co-owner of a promotion.
Right.
Okay.
Halfway she through the time.
She primarily wrestled in America?
Correct.
Okay. Well, Jesus Christ, what the hell else was in wrestling besides the WWF and the Carnies?
I will give you a little bit more info here as we're halfway through. This woman is what held the NWA World Women's Championship for nearly 20 years. was recognized as the first NWA Women's Champion in 1950 and is known as the first female athlete to reach a financial gain of $1 million earned in pro wrestling.
All right. How many guesses do I get now?
You got three.
All right. I'm going to take one and say Mae Young.
It is not Mae Young.
Oh, boy.
But they worked with Mae Young for quite some time.
How much time do I got?
You got a minute and 40 seconds.
I can't think of who actually wrestled in the NWA and also did a little bit of promotional work. So she NWA Women's World Champion, so she was mostly in the NWA.
Correct.
Okay.
So the territories that made up the NWA.
I've only got really one more guess, and this is a shot in the dark because I don't know any other women besides maybe Mae Young, Moolah, and maybe two other women, but I'm going to take a shot on this one. If it's not this one, I have maybe one more guess, and it's probably not a good one, but I'm going to guess her name just slipped my mind. It was
I think you got it.
Mildred Burr, someone to be Burr.
You're right. Mildred Burke.
Hey, all right.
Burke with 30 seconds to spare.
Wow. Oh, man.
Mildred Burke. Yes. See, if you didn't get it on your last guess, I think you would have gotten it with my last clue I was going to give you, which was a movie was created about her featuring Toni Storm.
Queen of the Ring, yeah.
Naomi and et cetera.
Yep.
Yes. So congratulations. 2 for 2 on these challenges. But I almost got you. You had 30 seconds left before the time.
And you put a scare into me with that one. Oh, my God. I was like, there's no way it's going to be that easy. When I guessed Moolah and you said no, I'm like, oh, now we really have to go into the bank here and see what we can come up with. Okay. Very good. That was a great one. That was a good one.
Wait, speaking of scary, you know what scared me yesterday? I opened up the app to our next affiliate partner to look at some of these tickets for the NFL and the ticket prices that some of these resellers are asking for these NFL tickets. You might we want you to use our affiliate link and that's I'll let you introduce them here in a second. Just wait a few months, maybe, and you can get a better deal because good grief. And that is our sponsor, StubHub. Why don't you let everybody know about StubHub, my friend?
Thank you, sir. Well, as our fabulous host just mentioned, if you look at the score tickets to, quite honestly, the hottest events in town, and right now the NFL schedule just got released last night, so that's automatically the hottest ticket in town. That's maybe why the resale market is going crazy, because everybody wants to splurge and quickly buy those tickets. Resellers, you know, scoop them up and then try to sell them at triple the price. So it's a little ridiculous. Let's wait after the excitement of the schedule calms down as we get closer, maybe July, June, late June, early July. Maybe that those prices will come down. However, regardless, tickets are high, tickets are low, StubHub has got you covered. Whether it's a concert, sports game, that must-see Broadway show, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets with millions of listings, some a little high. You can usually find the best seats at mostly the best prices, typically when there's a lot of excitement and energy and talking about a particular sport, concert, event. Those prices are going to go up. Let it simmer for a little bit. Those prices will start to actually ease up, and you'll find that these listings on StubHub are the best seats at the best prices. Plus, with StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that your tickets are legit and are ready for you to enjoy. So why wait? Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today. and get your tickets to unforgettable moments across all sorts of sports and live entertainment. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. Guys, use the link in the description for all your sporting events needs. Sporting events, concerts, live events, things of all nature. Anything that you need to buy a ticket to go in, use StubHub. Use the link in the description for all your needs. And we thank StubHub for sponsoring and being an affiliate of our podcast.
Absolutely. The link is in the description box below. If you're watching or listening to this on Apple and Spotify, check the show notes for that there. It should also be there for you all to use. Thank you to StubHub. This is now the part of the show that I like the most, and I'm going to let my co-host lead off the ranting session. It's the mid-card meltdown, and my friend, I'm going to give the floor to you. What say?
Well, let me just go ahead and say that the narrative that Jon Moxley does not draw as a champion is quite honestly a fib. Last night on Dynamite, AEW had one of its highest ratings of 2025 and of quite some time. And it peaked at the end of the main event. They did have a little bit of an overrun, but Moxley and Samoa Joe, the main event, steel cage world title match, drew the biggest number of the night. Got a win for Moxley and came with smorgasbord of people. Got the announcement of Anarchy in the Arena. We'll get to all this stuff here in just a little bit. But at 10 p.m. past, that was the highest rating of the show. The main event, Jon Moxley, Samoa Joe. I don't think that Samoa Joe is the sole reason for that number. I think he helps. But Jon Moxley, people want to see this guy either get his ass kicked or get beat up. So they're going to tune in to be like, hey, is this a night? Steel cage, Samoa Joe, former world champ. Let's see what we got. And it was one of Dynamite's biggest crowds of the last 6-7 months. I think maybe since last fall. Before Forbidden Door or All in London, they drew over 4,000, I believe, at close to 5,000 in Chicago. I think the last time they were at this arena was in November, and they drew a little bit over 4K. But they drew almost 5K last night. Had a really good showing, really strong card, really good card. And we didn't have to worry about, you know, pictures of the hard cam being empty and things like that. So I think it's just funny how people create this narrative that you guys should have pulled the trigger, should have had Moxley lose the title 2 months ago, 3 months ago. It's not going anywhere. Doesn't draw as a champion. And if people just have a little bit of patience, let the seeds get planted, let that flower grow, or if we want to put it in a little bit better terms, put a little sugar in that sauce, get a little bit of flavor. Let it simmer. Let it spice up a little bit. Put your other ingredients into it. All of a sudden, now it starts boiling. Now it starts simmering. Now it starts to actually make some the ingredients are coming together. It's starting to really get a malleable sauce, if you will. So I think it's just funny how a specific section of wrestling fans who cater to us to slow down, let it take its time, let it run its course, let's let the story play out. When things look really, really bad, then tell us that we need to get rid of something, it needs to end, it should have been done 2, 3, 4 months ago, this is ridiculous, it's going nowhere, there's no creativity behind it. When it really just got started 4 months before that, and we really haven't really let the wheels run on the ground, now it's starting to... Those wheels are really in motion. We're really building some momentum here. Crowds are coming up. Attendance figures are going up. The ratings are going up a little bit more and more and more. A little bit of dips, but going up steadily, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. Yeah, I think it's funny that a section of a certain fan base will tell us that it's not a draw. Shouldn't be a champion. Needed to be dropped a champion. You're going to kill the company. When we had a storyline for 4 years that honestly ran out of its course a year and a half ago. And, yeah, very funny how that works. And it's funny how it's kind of blown up in their face, and I'm here for it. I like it.
Absolutely, that's a good point. And by the way, that story that you're mentioning that that other company has is now entering a new section with a new guy that's not even Samoan joining it. So it's
that's I have a second story. Rant too, but yeah.
Go ahead.
Why in the world do we bring somebody from a not just another company, but another continent just magically appear on the main roster, whereas guys who are on American television have a little bit of a notoriety and name to them get relegated to the developmental brand in front of 200-300 people. And we feel the need that this guy could just show up because he's big. People are going to automatically recognize him, know who he is. Or that's Jeff Cobb. Who the hell is Jeff Cobb? I don't know who the hell this guy is. Most fans right. In that other, you know, just very agitating how it's a pick and choose thing. And it's like, why does this make sense? And that one doesn't, as far as a character and as far as a wrestler goes. Why does this guy make sense for being on that show? Why does this guy? And I understand you can't put everybody on one brand and this and that. I get that. But some guys that have a little bit of notoriety to them that people already knew who they were in one brand show up in front of 200-300 people, whereas we could have debuted them maybe in front of 6,000-8,000 people, and maybe half of them, half the arena would know who that is. That's still tenfold better than what the developmental crowd is showing. A little frustrating how that the pick and choose game of that works. I don't really understand it.
Right. I don't either. I think we could do a whole episode just simply on that piece, but that's some good stuff. But just to mention, I think this was the highest rating AEW Dynamite got since October of 2024, if I looked at it correctly. So the numbers are starting to move on the up and up for AEW. My mid-card meltdown this week. See, I've been going back and forth on what I wanted to talk about. But I think the biggest story that I want to rant about is this idea that Mr. Phil Brooks has turned his back on everything he said he stood for simply because he was welcomed back into the WWE on a Instagram live feed that CM Punk held. He was asked the question, "Why do you hate coming to Saudi Arabia?" To which he responded, "I've never been to Saudi. I don't hate coming to Saudi." And I was going to wait to give this response until it was made absolutely official that CM Punk was on the Saudi Arabia show card. But it seems prevalent now that I should just go ahead and make this statement. Phil Brooks, CM Punk, go suck a blood money covered dick, you fucking dork. Oh, wait. That's what you said to, I don't remember who it was, several years ago, Phil, when they took the blood money of Saudi Arabia. I guess that blood money is good now when it's offered to you, Phil. Listen, I have had my issues with CM Punk for quite some time. The whole brawl out and all that, like, but this is the top of the cake. Like, this takes the cake of the most hypocritical thing CM Punk maybe will ever do in his WWE career. Let's hope he stays healthy enough to make it to the Saudi show, because it seems like he can only wrestle one match and then has to take a few weeks off. And I don't think we've seen him since he lost at WrestleMania, and he may maybe he's just starting to make his comeback. So we'll see if Phil Brooks is ready enough for his fragile body to fly all the way over to Saudi Arabia to do whatever he's going to get paid for. It's just a little frustrating because this is a guy that, you know, everybody loved in the mid 2010s, 2013. It was John Cena or CM Punk. And it's like everything you thought he stood for, everything he preaches about in social media, a couple $100 million or a couple $1 million will just be fine and dandy to forget that ever existed. And so, yeah, CM Punk, if I see you in Saudi Arabia, I'll say it again. If I don't see you in Saudi Arabia, you might get an apology. Probably not. But I think it's just a bit hypocritical that his mind has changed in just that short period of time. And his company is big friends with the Saudi area. The other thing I wanted to mention real quickly, not really a rant, just quickly before we get to recapping AEW Dynamite from last night, Will Ospreay made a lot of people upset this weekend, or this week, a couple days ago. Well, he stood up on a podcast and basically said he respects what WWE does, but AEW does every aspect of pro wrestling better than them. And I think you have to take him at his words. I think you have to take him literally there. He is not saying WWE is a bad product per se. He's saying AEW does pro wrestling better than AEW. I don't think it's a diss towards WWE in any way. It's just he's using the literal definition of the word pro wrestling. WWE does sports entertainment better, not wrestling. I promise right now, I would rather go to Tennessee Backyard Wrestling to watch wrestling than WWE at this point, because, for instance, I think on Monday Night Raw, or maybe it was Backlash, it was probably Backlash, Dominic Mysterio wrestled Penta for the Intercontinental belt, I think it was, US belt, I can't remember what title Dom has at this point. I don't watch the show regularly, so I really don't give it to him. And if that was in any other company, that could have been a 5-star match. WWE dumbed it down into some PG version of pro wrestling that, like, it was still decent. It would have been so much better elsewhere. But let's break into our AEW recap for Dynamite. Beach Break from Chicago, Illinois. Are there beaches in Chicago? I don't know. Still haven't answered that question.
There's lakefronts. So, I don't know about beachfronts.
Right. So Beach Break Live from the Now Arena in Chicago, Illinois. And we had a pretty interesting show. Was not my favorite Dynamite of the year. Was not my favorite Dynamite in Dynamite's history. To me, it felt very, very reminiscent of a WWE show. There was a lot of promo work. There was a lot of segments that I questioned why they even had any relevance on the card. For example, the Hurt Syndicate finished their match. And Dustin and Sammy Guevara pull up just for crew to pull up. And they had like this 10-minute long promo that only led to a match on Thursday or on Saturday on Collision. Sorry, I'm still in last week where Collision was on Thursday, but it led to a match on Collision. This could have been something that was settled in a tweet by Tony Khan and not on TV, in my opinion. That time could have best been used either for the main event, which 10 o'clock hit, and we're on a commercial break at 10 o'clock. They definitely could have fit in a little bit more work with the title match. They definitely could have given the women more time in their four-way eliminator match, but instead they get a match that leads to a number one contendership match on Collision, which, great, we need a build for Collision, but how many matches have been built for Collision through a Tony Khan tweet? This is one of those matches, in my opinion, that could have had that Tony Khan tweet build the match, number one contendership for Double or Nothing for the tag belts. Before we move on to anything else, your thoughts on just kind of that surrounding stuff?
I mean, I don't particularly love it when Tony Khan puts out a tweet and says, hey, due to ongoing beef, you guys fight on Collision. And to me, that's just like, okay, I mean, that there's no premise to that. Whereas at least we got a little bit of something as a backstory leading to Collision. There's a little bit of beef going on screen, on TV, on the mic. So I'd rather have that versus tweet or just a not announced match. I get what you're coming from, though. I mean, it was a bit of a lengthy promo, and it was kind of awkward in the way that it was delivered. It seems like they're trying to push Crew a little bit here recently with Leo Rush and Action Andretti. It's just interesting to see how that's going to turn out on Saturday. Have Dustin and Sammy lost the ROH tag belts yet? Remind me on that. I don't remember if they have or not.
They have not. They are still okay. ROH tag team champions.
So that's obviously giving Dustin some TV time, Sammy some TV time. Maybe that's a way for them to try to build an audience to watch ROH on Thursdays. I don't know. But it's going to be an interesting – it's going to be an okay match. But I'd rather have that kind of build versus just throwing it out, not announced, or via a Tony Khan tweet. I'd much rather have a little bit of a backstory. Whether it's 4 days, 3 days, or 3 weeks beforehand, give me something that I at least now know why it's happening versus it's a random tweet that Tony Khan posted it at 7 o'clock in the afternoon or in the evening the night before. So I thought the show was pretty decent overall, though. I mean, you're going to have your promos a little bit to build some things, but I thought the quality of the matches was pretty good. I thought that the way that we're starting to finally get some more matches on the card for Double or Nothing is really good. But I think sometimes you have to have shows like these in order to maybe have to build your pay-per-views a little bit differently, depending on the way that it's just shaped up storyline wise, really pushing the Owen Hart stuff. And then this week we still got a little bit of that, but now we're really pushing towards other stuff as well. So, we got two more matches announced, I believe, for Double or Nothing. We put a lot of heavy focus on those coming out of the show. So, I thought that overall it was a good show and a better build towards Double or Nothing. Thank God it only took 3 weeks, but we're finally like, okay, now we have some momentum going towards the pay-per-view.
And that's fair. I just maybe from a personal perspective preference. And I just, that women's match was built so well. It just kind of felt like it went so fast. And the women only had one segment on the show. And man, I just wish they had a little bit more time. But I get it. I get what you're saying. The storyline is important. And so we get that match on Collision, number one contendership match. Winner fights the Hart Syndicate at Double or Nothing. You announced there were two other matches mentioned. We get the Anarchy in the Arena. We'll talk about that main event in a minute. But we also got a women's championship match. We'll talk about that here in a second. But first, MJF faced the reckoning of the Hurt Syndicate. Where I thought they did great on their promo work was this whole segment with MJF. It was fantastic. Tony Khan snitched on MJF hiding behind the gorilla position table, pulling Shelton Benjamin, pulling him out and dragging him to the ring. And he finally gets his acknowledgement, the three thumbs up for the ability to join the Hurt Syndicate. But it seems like Maxwell maybe played his hand a little too quick, couldn't keep his mouth shut when asking for his lawyer, Mark Sterling, everyone's favorite lawyer. I think Jade Cargill is still waiting for some compensation from Mark Sterling. She might get it in a year when she signs back with AEW. But we got MJF in the Hurt Syndicate, but it seems likely at the quote unquote contract signing, there might be a little turn there. But overall, I thought that segment with MJF was great. MJF is really good at those kind of storyline progression things. And what say you about MJF in the Hurt Syndicate?
I thought we were going to get something last night that I'm glad didn't happen, that I think would have rushed the whole thing. So if there is something coming, I'm glad that they're holding off on it. I think maybe we could get a... So I guess the thinking is between Crew and Dustin, Crew versus Dustin and Sammy, one of that faces Hurt Syndicate at Double or Nothing for the tag belts, right?
Right.
Okay. So that means probably more than likely nothing's going to happen next week on Dynamite. They're going to sign the contract. They may tease a little bit of something, but nothing happens. And then we get to the pay-per-view. Maybe MJF helps them win the belts, retain the belts, whatever. And then something happens, or MJF accidentally costs them the tag belts, and we get the turn, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I'm intrigued with this whole thing. I think that it's getting some steam here, and I'm very curious as to where it goes. I think that the promo work from MJF definitely helped this segment a lot more. It was interesting to see kind of the Bobby Lashley, you know, first wearing the thumbs down shirt, then put the thumbs up, grabbed MJF, you know, hugging him, this and that. And Shelton was behind him setting up for a super kick, like he was about to kick him, and it didn't happen. And just set up for a very interesting little tease there. But overall, I like the segment. I like the way that they're going with it. They're not rushing it, and I like that. And I think in the next week, 2 weeks, really between Wednesday and next Sunday for Double or Nothing, we'll get something coming out of that whole angle there between those four, I guess, between the Hurt Syndicate and MJF.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that they spent a lot of time pushing the Owen Hart stuff here recently. They kind of met the crescendo for both the men's and the women's today as well, last night as well. We start with Ospreay and Hangman tag teaming last night to start the show. And they hit the Buckshot Hidden Blade combo. And that stare down in the ring was absolutely phenomenal. It seems like Ospreay and Hangman Page is going to be a very, very good match at Double or Nothing. We get then the women's side of things. We have the women's four-way eliminator match where at the conclusion of that match, Mercedes Moné attacks Azumi, who last weekend took the NJPW Strong Women's Championship away from Mercedes Moné and attacks her on the show, which Jamie Hayter then comes in to the defense and beats the ever-living shit out of Mercedes Moné. And so they're building some violence, some animosity between Jamie Hayter and Mercedes Moné, and as well between Will Ospreay and Hangman Page. It really seems Like, they really want to make it, make the stakes for these matches very high. It would not surprise me if one of these Owen Hart matches opens the show at Double or Nothing, and then the other one closes the show at Double or Nothing. I'm thinking Ospreay to start the show to get the fans excited. And then we'll get the women, I think, the women may main event Wednesday. Mercedes Moné and Jamie Hayter may main event at Double or Nothing. But your thoughts on the Owen Hart stuff and as they're progressing to the finals in the next couple of weeks?
I think this is easily the best built of the finals that we have had of the 3 years of the tournament. We've had some really good finals matches for these tournaments, but the build hasn't always been the best. But these builds have been tremendous. I really think it almost seems like, in a way, Ospreay is leaning towards being a tweener slash kind of a heel with the way that he was doing his in-ring work with the tag match last night. Heyman Page has gotten the babyface reaction here for a while, but he just hasn't really fully committed to being a true babyface. The whole thing with Swerve over the last month or two has started to kind of have him be in that turn phase a little bit into a face. But it's a very interesting build, and I'm all for it. I think it's done a really good job with really creating, and maybe that's the point of it, is to say, the guys, listen, Double or Nothing is one of the biggest pay-per-views we put on every year, one of the mainstay pay-per-views of AEW's history. That was the first true pay-per-view under the AEW banner back in 2019. But now we're giving it a different feel, whereas most of these, you know, pay-per-views are about the world title, about the main event of the world title, this and that. But you can't get to the main event of the world title unless you win your matches, unless you win your number one contendership, win these tournaments. And it's creating a really good name recognition for the Owen Hart tournament every year. I think after this year, when we get into May of 2026 and this comes back again, that people are going to go, hell yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm looking forward to this, because last year was a great build, was a great bracket, set up a tremendous, almost month-long build to these matches for the pay-per-view. So it sets almost a standard of itself right then and there, that you don't have to have a world title match, which I don't really want to toot my own horn, but I did say last week that I don't think we're going to get a world title match on Double or Nothing. We're going to get Anarchy in the Arena. Seems like that was confirmed last night. And I do agree with you that I think we're going to have a Owen Hart tournament match open the show and one close it. It's kind of tough to do that with the Anarchy in the Arena match. I think you've made that point before. That was kind of your counterpoint to mine, was, you know, it might be a little bit of a trouble thing to do if that's going to be the main event, having to clean up and having the crowd come back down from all that. They may make Anarchy in the Arena third from the main event and then have a co-main be something different to get the crowd okay, and then let it be the Owen Hart final. I wouldn't be mad at either one. One main eventing versus the other opening. It would be nice to have the women's main eventing. They haven't main evented the pay-per-view yet, so that'd be really cool to see that. I would prefer kind of a world title women's match or a TBS title to main event a pay-per-view. But hey, either way, it'd be great regardless. So, I think they've done a really good job with that. Really building prestige with these tournaments. AEW has done a really good job over their 5-year history of doing tournament style stuff anyways. But I think this one has been the best built overall that they've done. And actually having these matches mean so much going into the pay-per-view and then coming out of it. So looking forward to it. We'll see what happens. And I think that it's going to be a good show overall for those two final matches next Sunday.
Absolutely. Just a quick breaking news segment real quick for fans of the Washington, D.C. area. Clear the way. Andrei Svechnikov has scored a goal with a minute left in third period to give the Hurricanes a 2-1 lead. They then scored a short empty net goal to win 3-1. The Carolina Hurricanes have advanced to the third round of the Stanley Cup playoff. The Washington Capitals lose the series 4-1. Anyways, this is not a sports show. Let's get back to the wrestling. We got two more big points of AEW from last night. The women's four-way eliminator, as I said, Azumi gets attacked at the end, but during the match, the champion gets pinned by Mina Shirakawa, setting up Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa at Double or Nothing. I think this is a great match that is going to at least give Toni Storm something to do while she waits for her opponent. But it also builds the intrigue because shall Mercedes Moné win the Owen Hart tournament? It would make sense, Mercedes Moné versus Mina Shirakawa. Should Mina Shirakawa beat Toni Storm for the belt? I don't think she will, but this ain't a prediction show. We'll wait. We'll give it a, what's it, 2 weeks before we do our prediction show. Next week. We'll do our prediction show next week. We'll talk about that then, but I like that we have at least one world title match on the card. I just think some of these pay-per-views, some of these titles need to be defended. We're not going to get we're more than likely not going to get Okada's belt defended until All In. We won't get the world title defended till All In. We may get Adam Cole defending his TNT belt. It's not confirmed at Double or Nothing, but if not, probably not until All In. So it's good to at least have some of these belts being defended on pay-per-views, at least with the tag belt and the Women's World Championship. The funny part about this match is Mina Shirakawa comes out to one theme song that's brand new. Mikey Ruckus tweeted about it, that it was created by the same people that created Mercedes Moné's theme song, and it got absolutely hammered on social media. Everybody hated that song, and they hated it so much that Tony Khan decided live on air to give Mina Shirakawa her original theme song back after she won the match, and admitted it during the show that he was scrolling Twitter looking at fan feedback as the decision as to why he made that swap. I think that's interesting. I don't know if WWE would ever do that. They'd probably be like, fuck y'all. You can do whatever. You can complain all you fucking want. We're going to do whatever we want because it's our business, not yours. Tony Khan at least shows that he cares about what the social media market, the fan base, thinks. And I think that's the reason why the people that are on social media for the most part like AEW, because they feel like they're heard, and WWE, they feel like they're isolated. Good segment there for the women. We get to the main event, and that's the last biggest thing. And Joe and Moxley put on a pretty good cage match. And we all knew at some point that there was going to be some form of interference. I think that was clear to say, but they pulled the most bloodline storytelling of all time. If it wasn't clear that the Death Riders are the AEW's version of the bloodline, the man in a black sweatshirt with the hood on top of him coming out to help the heel came straight out of the textbook of what the bloodline used to do. That was their MO. Every time they debuted a new Samoan, he wore a black hoodie and pulled the hoodie off to debut. This one, he's not Samoan, not even really related to John Moxley in any way, shape, or form, except they had a really good feud a couple years ago. Gabe Kidd comes out to the defense of John Moxley, and to be completely honest, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Because, again, like I said, Moxley and Gabe Kidd had a big feud a while ago. And even if Moxley is working with the Young Bucks, just had a battle at Resurgence, the New Japan show, where they fought Gabe Kidd. It was Bullet Club Old versus New Bullet Club War Dogs. And the Young Bucks beat him, so maybe that was his, I don't know. I just, to me, the selection of who came out to interfere was a little strange. The pop for Gabe, I love Gabe Kidd. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Very entertaining, especially when he cuts a promo. You probably have to keep your finger on the cuss button if he cuts a promo on TV. I think everybody assumed, because they were in Chicago, Jack Perry was the guy that was coming out. This sets up anarchy in the arena. It looks like it's Marina Shafir, John Moxley, Gabe Kidd, the Young Bucks, maybe Okada. I don't know. Okada got beat up by Speedball Mike Bailey at the end of the show. On the other side, the good guys are Swerve, Samoa Joe, Hobbs, and then we don't know.
I don't know who that fourth one is. It could be Bailey. I hope it's not. But he kind of took out Okada.
Right. So I think it will be Omega as well added to it. But they are missing. They're down either one or two guys at this point. And so I guess the question is going to be, who's going to fill that role? I think if they want to go surprise, Eddie Kingston would be a great pick for that surprise role. But I think they also could play it safe and put Mike Bailey in there. They could put another guy like maybe Shibata comes back, or Hook comes back, and they fit them in there because they obviously are part of the ops. But I kind of think Eddie Kingston would be cool. Maybe they even bring in another New Japan guy just to set up for a feud with Forbidden Door coming up in August. Because obviously after All In, after All In, their build's going to be for Forbidden Door. So maybe you start that early. I don't know. It's just interesting. Your thoughts, though, on the chaotic yet seemingly popular, because in the overrun, they gained more fans than they were watching before the overrun, segment of the show ending, and the Swerve Strickland standing in the middle of the ring saying, "Anarchy in the arena."
Yeah, I think maybe that was the fourth guy maybe we're missing. It was Omega, Hobbs, Joe, Swerve. There's your four. Maybe you said that. I don't know. But I honestly think there's only two options for this. I guess technically three. You could get a New Japan guy to counter the Gabe Kidd thing, or you get Kingston back, or hey, it's in Arizona.
Bryan Danielson.
That would be awesome. The Gabe Kidd thing is very kind of confusing because of the fact of what just happened at Resurgence. There was really like, okay, well, how does he fit in this whole thing? He kind of looks like Moxley in a way, so okay, that makes sense. But did the Bucks and the Death Riders have a meeting and say, hey, we need to get this guy? Or like, how did that whole thing come about? Maybe Gabe Kidd turns on Moxley and he has unfinished business with him and leads to some of that Forbidden Door. I don't know. It does set up a very intriguing but very confusing way of thinking when it comes to that. My focus isn't so much on that, though. While it's a very big talking point, it was the main event of the show, all that hoopla. I go back to the finish of that women's match. We have Mina versus Toni Storm at Double or Nothing for the world title. That's kind of a big match. I mean, if I'm understanding, Mina's now under AEW contract, right?
Correct. So she's AEW bound. Toni Storm has met Mina Shirakawa once before Forbidden Door last year, but it wasn't for the belt.
No. Leads me to thinking of what's the deal with Mariah May?
Right.
Why would Mariah want to leave when her best friend just finally gets into an AEW contract?
So I made a tweet after Mina won last night and said, Memorial Day weekend, Arizona may be the best place to be because there's a lot of rumors that they may continue this love triangle story. So,
which, I mean, it is what it is. I wouldn't love it, wouldn't hate it. It's fine, I guess. But that would be something. to have all of a sudden the whole rumor mill was flooding with Mariah was WWE bound, that backstage morale was that she was going to WWE, and then she turns up and she's actually re-signed with AEW and then comes back and just destroys both Mina and Tony after the match. That would be very interesting. That's what I'm not more focused on that than the main event, because I really enjoy the main event. I really like where they were going with it. Create some intrigue of, is there four guys in there? You got to think about it as well. You have Claudio, Mox, Gabe Kidd, the Bucks. That's what, five or six?
Five. That's five there.
But then Yuta?
If you add Yuta, or if you add Okada, like the face team may need three or four other guys. So
that to me is where the confusing part comes into play. Is, well, if Omega's going to be on this team, wouldn't you want to put Okada on the other team to kind of create that tease of what could happen at All In Texas?
Right. So hopefully next
match.
Right. Hopefully either Saturday or next week on Dynamite they kind of clarify who's on the team, because it seemed like maybe they were going a little bit over what they were supposed to have, so they were kind of rushing the end of that segment there, so it really was confusing on who's on what team. So hopefully they kind of give us some clarity, and if there's a special guest, that they at least make it known, like, hey, they got to find one extra guy, and that may be what the case is. But yeah, it was still a good episode of Dynamite, more entertaining than any episode of Monday Night Raw I've watched here recently. But for it, I don't know. It was to me like an A minus, where most of the last couple AEW shows, in my opinion, were like A's or A pluses. But it's still a really good show. We're going to quickly run into our main event segment. The title of this episode: what is it that makes you a pro wrestling fan? And so I ask this question because I have seen a lot of discourse on multiple sides of this question. So I want to paint the picture real quick, and then I'm going to kind of let you answer. On one side of the aisle, we have people that are saying, if you watch only WWE, or if you watch only AEW, you're not a pro wrestling fan. You're a insert company here fan. You support one company, but you don't support pro wrestling at large. And on the other side of the aisle, you have people that say, and these fans are probably more so WWE fans, that say WWE is the mainstream topic. They are what pro wrestling is. If you were to ask some random guy on the street what pro wrestling is, WWE would come to mind. Therefore, out of willful ignorance, they will say WWE is the only product that matters, and AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, all of the other independent stuff doesn't matter and isn't relevant. And they may even go as far as to say, like, I've heard this said before, AJ Styles can't be considered one of the greatest wrestlers of all time because the stuff that happened before his WWE run doesn't matter, because it wasn't WWE. To which I had to explain to them, WWE came knocking at his door in 2002 and he turned them down. So if WWE cared enough about him, maybe we should care enough about him. Here's where I stand on this issue. I stand in the middle. I think it's okay if you support AEW only. I think it's okay if you support your local independent program only. I think it's okay if you support WWE only. You're still part of pro wrestling. But at the same time, You cannot be so willfully ignorant as to say, well, Will Ospreay is not the best of the best because he can't make it in WWE. Or you have to have some general knowledge of your competition. You have to have some knowledge of the other pieces of the industry. Or else you get what you got at Backlash. When Jeff Cobb came out, and for 20 minutes I had to spend time explaining who the hell Joe Cobb was, because they don't know who he is. And if you don't, WWE has progressed enough to think that the fans should know who other wrestlers are. If WWE is changing their philosophy to allow you to, or to believe that the fans are smart enough to know who Jeff Cobb is, it might be time for you to kind of smarten up on who some of these people are. And so I'm in the middle. Like, you don't have to be me or you who kind of are an encyclopedia of knowledge on who Mildred Burke is and can in 30 seconds can name off 30 accolades of Mike Mizanin, or even know that Mike Mizanin is actually The Miz. Like, I'm not saying you have to know that stuff to be a pro wrestling fan. What I'm saying is you can't deny that AEW exists simply because it's second place to WWE. But at the same time, just because you watch WWE only doesn't mean you're not a pro wrestling fan either. So let me let you share your thoughts on that, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm in the same boat with you as well, that, hey, I mean, you can have people who are, if you want to call them tribalist people, they can like who they like, watch what they watch, support what they support, and that's fine. You can have people who watch a plethora of stuff and be a fan of that. I think what determines you as a fan of pro wrestling is it's subjective. I mean, if a guy who has never watched wrestling but scrolls through on Netflix and sees this thing called WWE Raw live on a Monday night and he tunes in and watches it, and then he picks up just one person that he likes,
right,
whatever it could be, whatever storyline it is, and then he or she watches it every so often because he enjoys that character, enjoys that storyline, may or may not watch the PLEs, but tries to watch Monday Night Raw, if not every week, every other week. Do you consider that a pro wrestling fan? Do you consider that a WWE fan? Do you consider that a insert superstar's name here fan? Like, how do you define that? It's a fan.
Right.
They're watching the product. They're a fan.
Right.
I think that the way that the world is these days of we need information right at our fingertips at every second of every day spoils the fans to think that they need to know everything about anything. And if you don't, then you're no longer considered one of us, quote unquote. And I hate that because I want wrestling to grow. I want wrestling as an entertainment form. It's a sports entertainment form to grow more, to get bigger sponsors. I would love it if they got a beer sponsor, like a legit beer sponsor. I'm not talking about real American beer. Give me Coors Light. Give me Michelob Ultra. Give me something that's like, holy shit, that's a pretty big sponsor that's investing into a pro wrestling thing. Grey Goose, you know, or Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, you know, Tramana is a vodka, right? But or tequila, but it's because a wrestler owns it. That's why it's on TV, type of thing.
Right.
Like, give me some of these really huge type of sponsors for me, you know, for people to be like, oh damn, they're investing into wrestling. Like, it must be that legit if they're investing into it. And you can see the type of sponsors on WWE's mat now. It's basically become a UFC mat, which is fine. But to me, a fan is just just that a fan. You can be a fan of whatever you want to be of. One company, all companies, one wrestler, one's, you know, whatever.
Right. So kind of going off of a piece that you said, like, it seems like wrestling now, maybe it's social media, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's always been this way, but it seems more prevalent nowadays that pro wrestling and fans are, I don't know, putting labels on people and boxing people into certain places. Like, when I look at wrestling fans, like, if I had to describe myself as a wrestling fan, I am an AEW diehard. I love AEW. I've watched AEW since day one, and I will continue to watch AEW till the day Tony Khan has to sell the company, if that ever happens. But when it comes to WWE, I am very relaxed. I don't know a whole lot about the product. I don't know a whole, like, I guess you would say, and they would call me a casual WWE fan, but I like pro wrestling and I keep up with it. The problem I have is I don't like labels of, well, you're a hardcore fan, or you're a casual fan, or you're part of this wrestling community, or you're part of the internet wrestling community. Because what happens is you have people that are part of one community trying to say people, and they generalize and say all people in this community are bad because they all generally believe this one thing, and it becomes this game of politics where like, if you were to strip away all of the labels, like 90% of everybody in America agrees on most of the basic tenets on our political spectrum. We have all of this back and forth arguing because of all of these different labels. I believe the same thing is true with wrestling. You can go to a WrestleMania and there are people from England and all around the world in all 50 states that are all different religions, skin colors, creeds, ethnic backgrounds, and all they're there for is to watch wrestling. I don't think they care at that moment if they're hardcore or casual or anything in between. The problem is when we add these labels and you say, well, fuck the IWC because they care too much about the product. They spend way too much time talking about it. And then in the reverse, you have people saying, well, fuck the casual wrestling community because they don't care enough about it. Well, why don't you just watch what you want to watch? Why are you so focused on what or how other people enjoy this entertainment sector? Like, wrestling is supposed to be a place where you can kind of get away from the rest of the world. At least that's how I look at it. Like, I love AEW and I'm invested in AEW because it's something that I can take my mind off of the day-to-day grind that I have to put in for work and school and all of that other stuff that I'm dealing with. It's something that I enjoy. And for someone to say on either side of the aisle that I'm in the right or I'm in the wrong because I see wrestling through a lens different than them, at the end of the day, you are right. It is subjective. What I consider, who I consider to be the best wrestler may be your worst wrestler, and vice versa. If you like watching wrestling from the lens of Vince McMahon in the 1980s, which was if you took the most steroids and you were the biggest wrestler, you're going to be the world champion. If that's how you still see pro wrestling, that's totally fine. If you see size as what matters to you. But to me, that might not matter as much as if the soap opera of WWE, what entertains you, then so be it. You're allowed to watch in that lens. But I think you have to allow other fans the same respect to watch wrestling and the other lens. So, like, for me, I could care, I could give less than two shits about the story behind a lot of matches. Like, I need to know just basic information as to why X, Y, and Z are fighting each other. But I don't need a love story. I don't really need a telenovela. I don't really need an action movie plot to get me to watch a wrestling match. Just put two really good wrestlers in a ring and I'll watch your wrestling match. Because I've always said it this way. If I wanted to watch an action movie, if I wanted to watch a telenovela, I would watch Days of Our Lives or Iron Man, or I would watch the pros do it. Because let's just be honest. Seth Rollins and all of the WWE wrestlers are really good wrestlers. But most of them are shitty actors. There's a reason none of them make it pro and acting outside of like The Rock and John Cena. And that's about the only two, because they have a monopoly, and Dave Bautista. But like, you watch 2010s, like the Bella Twins act. There's better acting in like porn movies than what they can do in that time. Like, we'll just keep it real. Like, they're good wrestlers, but they're shitty actors. So if I wanted to watch acting, I would just watch a movie, or I would go watch a Broadway play. I go to watch pro wrestling, and this is just me personally, for the wrestling. So just put people in the ring and I'll watch it. Give me just enough information as to why they're wrestling, and then let them tell the story in the ring. But that's my last piece of that. Any last words? What you got to say about that topic before we close the door today?
I mean, I agree with you for the most part about that. I mean, I'm a little bit different to where I need a little bit more of a context as to why these two people are fighting or whatever. I don't always need it. Sometimes it's okay to not have that. And they put on a really good performance in the ring. I forget sometimes that there's no storyline or rhyme or reason for the match other than either it's, hey, this guy's fight got canceled, we needed a quick, good match to entertain the crowd, or simply, you know what? I don't like the way you look. I want to fight you. I mean, it could be that simple. Whatever. I like a good variety in my wrestling. I'm okay with not having a fully, truly announced backstory, 2-3 month arc of why this feud or match is happening. But at the same time, I would like some of my bigger things to have some depth to them with storytelling and in-ring action and promos and all that stuff. I like a good blend of it. But like I said, that's all subjective. Not what one person's wrestling is the right way. It's what they prefer. And if you find that in a company that has more of what you like than the other, that's what you watch. That's totally fine. If you just like wrestling to like wrestling and you watch a bunch of stuff, cool. That's awesome. Don't shame people for liking one thing or not liking one thing. I don't see fans of Breaking Bad going shitting on people who like Games of Thrones or people who are Sons of Anarchy fans shit on Yellowstone. Like, you don't see that. That doesn't happen. I don't ever see, I could be very wrong, but I don't ever see people of TV shows fight fans of another TV show because you like my TV show and I don't like yours. Like, I don't ever see people, fans of Friends talk shit about fans of Seinfeld or whatever. Right. Like, the point's there. You don't see that. So why do we feel that it has to happen in wrestling? And that's where maybe a big cesspool of social, that's where kind of a bad vibe of wrestling comes from, is the fans, is because right. of how you can try to get a new person to watch it. But if they say, oh man, I really like this AEW thing, it's pretty cool. You're horrible. You don't know what real wrestling is. You don't watch the real stuff. You don't watch the good stuff. That's bullshit. That's not good. Like, why are we shaming that? It's just what they like. Let them get exposed to more things. Maybe they'll mind or open up a little more and they like more things down the road. But yeah, it's really the meat and bones, meat and potatoes of it, of that whole thing, in my opinion.
Well, absolutely. Well, I appreciate everyone in the comments. I got some comments here that I just want to reach out with. Referring to the Bella Twins, I mentioned that they were shitty actors. Well, DJ Wavy D said they were shitty wrestlers too. I like Nikki Bella. Brie, not so much, but Nikki Bella was pretty good. And then he says, referring to size, women says it's all about size. And we got a jokester in the comments section, guys. But no, I appreciate everybody that has been watching this episode today. We're going to upload this to the audio version here shortly. So if you listen on audio and you made it through the end of this podcast, I appreciate you. To my audio listeners, I just have a couple asks for you. Make sure you leave us a 5-star, and not a 1, not a 2, not a 3, not a 4, but be like Dave Meltzer and give us and pretend we're in the Tokyo Dome. Give us a 5-star review to letting everybody know that you like this podcast. That will be on Apple Music and on Spotify. If you are an audio listener, subscribe on Apple and Spotify as well. You can get notified when those episodes release. If you watch the live stream or you watch later on the video format, there are 4 things I need you to do, and it's pretty simple. The first thing is hit that thumbs up button for me, like this video, and let the world know, let YouTube know that this is good content that they should share in their algorithm. The second thing is do what DJ Wavy D has been doing all night in the comment section and leave a comment letting people know you're here and you are part of this community. The third thing I need you to do is hit that share button and share this with your wrestling friends or maybe even your non-wrestling friends. Just tell them it's like a Joe Rogan podcast or something. Maybe they'll tune in and watch it or something. Just share this video with as many people as you can. And then the last thing I need you to do is hit that subscribe button. That's the most important. Hit subscribe. Check that notification bell. That way you can get notified immediately after we post a new video or go live on the YouTube channel. If you are part of this show and you haven't joined our Discord, we got a Discord link at junkyardmediagroup.com. You can join the Discord there, or you can follow me on Twitter at IBJYJ, and you can just ask me for the Discord link there. Otherwise, guys, this is all we have for you on this Thursday live stream edition of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. As a reminder, on Saturday, I will continue, or at least hope to continue, my solo episodes of the show. I'm trying to get better at uploading those every Saturday, where I just talk about what the IWC is talking about and just kind of giving my takes on that as well. So that should be up on Saturday. I turn to my co-host, the man with the most sauce, Cody Marinara, to say the final words.
Well, friends, it's at that point of the time of the show again, where I have to give you the two most famous words in the Beyond the Junkyard and Junkyard Media Group's history. It's not the two words that DX is known for. And it's not thank you. It's the two words that, if you're like me and you share Italian blood, this is a very easy thing that you probably do most of the week, especially on Sundays. But for some of us who maybe not enjoy that as much, you need to enjoy it. You need to devour it, especially if you're a fan of a certain team that two initials are WC and have the colors red, white, and blue. Fuck those pieces of shit. I hate them all. I hope they all die. And I can't wait for October to see them on the ice again. Alex Ovechkin, I love you. Please retire soon. John Carlson, I don't love you. Please retire now. If anybody else who's not younger than 27 and can't skate and score, get the fuck off my team. But anyways, that's for a later conversation down the road. That's because I'm very salty. I need to take a little bit of salt out of my sauce and put a little more sugar to sweeten it up a little bit. I may do that this weekend. I'm going to fuck you. First of all, that's not right. No. Wrong WC. Wrong WC. I forgot the fact that now there's two WCs in DC sports. I forgot that. Sorry, wrong team. Anyways, this weekend I'll be devouring a bunch of alcoholic beverages, so that'll help me take away the loss of being out of the playoffs. But it's all good. So long story short, this weekend and forevermore. I hope all of you stay saucy. Beyond the-